You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Really excited about tonight's third hour, ladies and gentlemen. If you have been interested in what's going on in the Truckers' Rebellion of the Great White North, we have got the man for you.
We've got the mother trucker right here for us right now. Paul Frome.
He is the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression and of the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. I have known Paul Frome for a very long time. He is one of my very best friends in this cause. He is hilarious. He kills them with his wit and his humor as well as his knowledge. Very accomplished. Any mark you could put to make the measure of a man, he meets or exceeds it. Paul Frome, always great to talk to you, brother. How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing well, and my frozen toes are gradually unfreezing. I was out at a protest most of the afternoon. We are supporting the truckers up in Ottawa. There are protests in many Canadian cities like Quebec City, Winnipeg, Regina, Toronto, where I was today. Lots of local truckers came in. We created a great deal of noise, and there's a real rebellion going on at the grassroots level up here.
We have seen the headlines. We've seen the video footage. It is entirely remarkable. In fact, our good friend Rich up in Central Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, said we have to have Paul Frome on last week. Well, last week I was doing a remote broadcast in South Carolina, so it was difficult to do, and I was hopeful. I was praying that this thing would still be newsworthy and still be ongoing by the time we could get you on as quickly as we could, and that was tonight. And it seems as though it's not only still ongoing, it is only accelerated. So we have cleared the entire hour for you, Paul, this hour. We have a regular contributor who normally takes the last half hour of any given show, but we've cleared it all for you tonight so we could take our time to develop the telling of this story. So let's go back to the very beginning. Who are these truckers? What are they protesting, and how are they protesting it?
Okay, the truckers they're the backbone of this protest, but it's much bigger than them, and they're joined by many people who are not truckers. It started off as a protest against the requirement that cross-border, the Canadian truckers will now have to be vaccinated if they're going to cross the border. Now, the argument was there's no evidence that in the almost 2 years of the COVID or the Wuhan flu that these truckers have been any sort of a major contributor to the spread of COVID. So why this? And the government refused to discuss it with them and negotiate it with them. And it's happened so often. The rule is just laid down by a mandate from the government. The parliament never voted on it, and it becomes a requirement. So that's how it started. But as they began to pick up steam, they refined their demands. Now they want an end to all mandates. You know, that's what they're called up here. You know, forced masks in many areas, forced vaccine, and people who've lost their job, fired because they wouldn't take the jab. We want them all rehired. And basically a restoration of our freedoms. And that's what it has become. They have gained tremendous support. I have a political experience going back to 1965, and so I have a fairly long memory. And this is absolutely unprecedented. When the truckers converged on Ottawa from a number of directions last weekend, and on Thursday I was at a rally on the edge of the city where I live, Hamilton, Ontario. We were going to be greeting a convoy of truckers that were coming up from the Niagara region. Okay. It was a bitterly cold Thursday morning. I thought, well, maybe if we're lucky, 200 people. There were 2,000 people. And these people in every way were the exact opposite of the way descriptions that have smeared the truckers' movement. They were, I would say, 60% women, 75% young in the sense of under 30, whereas the prime minister said that even before they got to Ottawa, he said that the truckers were a fringe, that they were racists and misogynists. you want to laugh? How can the supporters that are 60% women be women haters? None of it makes any sense. But we've got a rattled establishment that is now just striking out with every accusation, the usual accusations that are meant to silence you, like you're a racist or you're a misogynist. And bigots. We've been hit with bigots.
Let me say this, Paul, this is Keith. How in the world did you wind up with a namby-pamby prime minister like Justin Trudeau? He needs to be run out of town on a rail. I mean, Pierre Trudeau was bad enough, but I mean, he's been outdone by his progeny, Justin. And, I understand he's hiding out now. Is that correct?
Yes. Last Saturday morning, as the truckers were beginning to descend on Ottawa, the word went out that he had been been moved to an undisclosed location for security reasons. Yeah, now this is the drama that you see always see from the anti-racists. It's always so dangerous to be who you are because they, whoever they are, somewhere out there, pose a threat. And there's talk. This was really the deep state and their echo chamber in most of the mass media in the run-up to the truckers arriving in Ottawa. They were saying all the same thing. There's a danger of violence. There were extremist elements in there. There were racists. There were conspiracy theorists. There were bigots. The public safety's at risk. This was all just the same sort of scare tactics that they've used to sell the repression that they've imposed on us with COVID. And I'm not saying that COVID doesn't exist, but a bad flu suddenly became the greatest health danger since the Black Plague.
Well, tell me this: how many people in Canada do you think line up with Justin Trudeau, and how many line up with the truckers?
Well, give us a one number answer to that, because we're coming up to our first break. Percentage-wise, Paul, who believes in Paul Fromm's message? Who believes in the message of Justin Trudeau amongst rank-and-file Canadians? What would you say?
I would say about 45% of Canadians declare themselves being for the truckers.
All right. Marinate on that, ladies and gentlemen. So many more questions for Paul Fromm.
You, a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars, someone not born in Dixieland but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosherified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
That's that one off there, Hey Paula by Paul and Paula, and that we dedicate to Paul Fromm tonight, our favorite Canadian free speech advocate extraordinaire. And boy, you know,
like Paula, we've been waiting for you.
Well, we have been, especially for this particular appearance. As often as you've been a guest on this program, this one I think especially is noteworthy because this is a grassroots uprising, the likes of which we have always clamored for and are excited to see.
Glad to see it finally happening in the Great White North, otherwise known as Canada.
And as you mentioned, Paul, this isn't, look, yes, there is an illness out there called COVID that you'd rather not have than have.
But it's not nearly as dangerous as the illness called liberalism.
That mental illness, as it were. But no, this is, look, the draconian tactics, the overreaching, the restrictions, the maskings, the shutdowns, all of it. 2 years in now, a full 2 years now it has been.
And they're still in denial.
And this is something that has been near and dear to your heart as well, Paul. I see you out with a bullhorn almost every week. You're there with many people. You're there with a handful of people. You're there with anyone who will show up. This has been a signature issue for you. How important or how special is it for you to see your fellow citizens up there in Canada take this stand on a global stage now?
Yeah, this has attracted attention throughout the European world. I know there have been copycat protests in Australia, and I think in several other countries as well. The whole idea is catching on. You see, the truckers have a certain power, although they're dismissed as just working class people. They've got these big trucks, and it costs a fortune to buy one of these things. But when they've gone up to Ottawa and they've said that they're going to stay there till the mandates are revoked, they're not about to go. This wasn't a one-day event, and the authorities are in a quandary what to do. They're saying we're hanging in until The government will talk to us. The government won't even talk to them, you see. Well, if they won't move voluntarily, how can they be moved? Well, the police have contacted various tow truck companies up in the Ottawa area, and they're saying they don't want to get involved. We don't want to get in this mess. There's even been talk of the military, but the military made it fairly clear earlier today that they don't want to get involved. They are military. They're not a policing function. So they're in a real quandary what to do. So one of the things, I mean, we're up against hardened enemies. There was pressure brought by the Ottawa police, and I suspect certain other forces, on GoFundMe. The truckers had, as of yesterday, raised over $10 million in 15 days. And to yes. give you some perspective, in this past September's federal election, the Federal Liberal Party raised $3 million from about 33,000 donors. The truckers had raised over $10 million from over 100,000 donors. That's unbelievable. And of course, the eyes of much of the elite were turning green with envy. That's a lot of power. So the GoFundMe had been under a lot of pressure. Earlier in the week, they suspended payments. But then they turned over about $1 million to the truckers. Well, then yesterday they suspended, they closed down the site and said they would not be turning over the money. It will either go to charity or back to the people who donated. I mean, this basically...
Hold on right there. If I could just interject this while you're speaking on this, one of our listeners has sent this in, and this is germane to what you're saying, and I think we'll add to it. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced that he would launch an investigation into GoFundMe following their attempt to requisition donations and turn them over to charities. And this is a quote from his office. This fraud by GoFundMe to embezzle millions of dollars of donations sent to support the truckers and direct them to a target of their choice. I'll be working with Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody to investigate this fraudulent activity. That's interesting coming from a governor of the...
Is there anybody in Canada with the balls to do that?
I don't know. I think what there will be efforts to go after GoFundMe legally, but the GoFundMe's in the state, so we are looking
So what do you think about the Governor DeSantis, one of the largest states and the most powerful state in the union, Florida, going after them in this way, or at least apparently so?
This is very, very helpful. That's what I was about to say, that we're looking for help from our American friends. They're another one of these tech companies that's out of control. And what they said was, well, their excuse for shutting down the account and stealing the truckers' money was that it comes to their attention that this was a occupation and there was violence. Well, there wasn't any violence. Now, this is just complete nonsense. And occupation, well, you know, they said that they're going to stay there. These are on the streets of our country. They didn't burst into somebody's place and take it over. These are public thoroughfares in our country. But I think GoFundMe was under a lot of pressure. That doesn't mean I agree they should have given in. They shouldn't, but... We're playing with ruthless people who have no appreciation of democracy.
They have no opinion of they have no sense of accountability to the average person in Canada or the United States.
I think this is an interview and this is a conversation we could have gone the full show on. I think we could have gone 3 hours on this. I'm glad we have a full 1 hour. That's rare. But this is, or it's rare rather to go more than 1 hour. I think this is one we could go a full three, but I'm thankful for the one that we've got.
Let me share something that I think is really worthwhile. A lot of people who have joined this movement are newcomers to politics. This is not a lot of old politicos like me. A lot of newcomers, and they are learning.
This is a grassroots movement, too, right?
Pardon?
This is a grassroots movement, too. It's not being orchestrated by any organization. This is strictly going to the people.
It's like what we used to call in the 60s. It's a happening. Anybody can join. There's no membership cards or anything like that. People just coalesce. And what is happening is they then get denounced by the prime minister as fringe, as racists, as misogynists, as extremists, etc. And the media just regurgitates the same accusations all the time. And yes, there's the aura of violence. There could be violence. Well, there is no violence. And what people are doing is, if they didn't already know, now they see that we've got, as Donald Trump says, a lying fake news media. You lie. And people are seeing that. And that's for the long range goals of our movement is very helpful. Because once people start believing the media and start questioning everything, we'll get a much bigger audience. There's a whole lot of...
Hey, brother, we're there. You were there long before they were there, but they are getting there, and I think we are at that dawn right now. We've been talking about it a lot in recent weeks and months. There is something happening.
There's something in the air.
We're seeing a manifestation of it right now in Canada. Another 30 minutes with Paul Fromm coming next.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Crime is up in big cities across the nation, including New York City. And Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg is going back on what many criticized as soft-on-crime policies, vowing to now prosecute lawbreakers. Fraternal Order of Police National Vice President Joe Grimaldi joins Fox News and is calling for a stronger response to hold criminals accountable.
We need to vehemently prosecute violent criminals. We need to restore the rule of law, and we need to embrace broken windows theories. And along with supporting and funding our police departments, we can accomplish that goal.
A 5-year-old boy who had been trapped 35 yards underground in a well in Morocco for 4 days was found dead following a lengthy rescue attempt. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Well, you've heard me talk about Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and how his pillow's given me a great night's sleep. He continues to roll out new offers on his products. His latest on the towel sets. Now, towels aren't something you think about. I never knew what I was missing until I tried the towels last year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today, and trust in Mike Lindell has given you a better night's sleep. Mike's now changing the game with his 6-piece towel set, USA cotton, extremely absorbent, yet still providing that soft feel you look for in a towel. 2 bath, 2 hand towels, 2 washcloths for a limited time, $39.95. Using our promo code USA, it retails for over $100. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use this promo code USA to get this price of $39.99 on the towels, or call 1-800-951-8175.
A campaign is continuing to educate women about their heart attack risk.
Friday was National Wear Red Day, part of the American Heart Association's ongoing campaign to remind women that they are not just at higher risk than men for heart attacks, but in fact, heart attacks are the number one cause of death in women. Dr. Noelle Berry-Mers of Cedars-Sinai Hospital telling CBS News,
"We are doing this because of the rising cardiovascular death rates in women, particularly younger women under the age of 50, and particularly women of color. And this started before the pandemic, but it has been exacerbated by the pandemic."
And she says that in many cases, women's stress levels directly relate to their heart attack risks, which is why it's often called broken heart syndrome. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
2-time gold medal winner Shaun White is set to retire after the Beijing Olympics. You're listening to USA Radio News.
One of these days I'm gonna sit down and talk to Paul. One of these days I'm gonna sit down and talk to Paul. I'm gonna ask him about his traveling, and he will tell me about it all. One of these days I'm gonna sit down and talk to Paul.
Folks, almost 20 years in this business, 18 years. That is the best comeback intro to any guest we've ever played. How more appropriate could you get than that? That's Johnny Cash. I've never even heard that song before tonight, but my God, do we not have great production here at TPC. I didn't even know that song existed, but that's what we're doing. We're sitting down and talking to Paul, and there's only one Paul. That is Paul Fromm, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression, and the
Paul
Canada
Paul,
First.
He is in charge of it all.
The Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. Go to our Twitter at James Edwards TPC, and there you can link over to his site there at CAFE, the Canadian Association for Free Expression. That's what this is, Paul, is it not? As we sit down and talk to you, we've seen the yellow vests in France. But what's going on here is free expression. And I would
it's
like
a happening, like you said. This is something in the air. It's just something that is spontaneous. It's not a political gimmick. It's not something that has been dreamt up by the establishment or the powers that be. In fact, that's why the powers that be are so afraid of it.
Well, let's compare this to BLM, Paul, very quickly, if we could. BLM ravaged the United States, as you know, for the last couple of years, burning down cities, sacking police stations, sacking downtown areas of major metropolitan cities. There was no repercussion. There was no punishment. But yet now I'm reading headlines in the news just tonight about how that somebody's got to crack down against these truckers for driving their trucks in and expressing themselves in that way. How else would they be heard is the question, I think. That's another question. But when you compare what you're seeing here with the reaction that the establishment wants versus the literal raising of cities that BLM did and the reaction that the establishment gave it, what's your findings, Paul?
I'm happy you asked that. When Black Lives Matter had a big rally on Parliament Hill in June of 2020, Prime Minister Trudeau, Ottawa was then under regulations that there weren't to be gatherings of more than, I forget what, 10 or 20 people. Well, they had a couple of thousand. And Trudeau came out, he joined them, he took a knee. So, you know, the rules about the size of gatherings suddenly didn't apply. So it all depends. What the gathering is, of course, Trudeau, of course, just strongly dislikes the white race, and so he
started. He's definitely anti-white.
I just saw an item out here that might be of interest. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton just tweeted, "Patriotic Texans donated to Canadian truckers and their worthy cause using GoFundMe. This Black Lives Matter backing company went woke, froze the funds, and failed to deliver Texans money. Today, I assembled a team to investigate their potential fraud and deception. Texas donors will get justice." And that's Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton.
And you know that Justin Trudeau has shown now that he is pro-black and anti-white. It's now a matter of record.
And his immigration policy, you know, if you ever... if you were in any doubt, he brought in last year, while we're still dealing with COVID, the largest number of immigrants ever in Canada's history, 401,000. And don't forget, we are 1/9 your size in terms of population. So multiply that by 9 to see what that would have meant for the United States. We have high unemployment. There are no jobs for these people, but overwhelmingly, about 85% are non-white. That's the agenda of the George Soros School of Politics, and Trudeau is one of Soros.
Trudeau is a card-carrying member of that school.
Absolutely, Trudeau was also praised by Klaus Schwab, you know, who's the architect of the Great Reset, as one of the real upcoming young leaders. This is about 15 years ago. He at the same time praised Emmanuel Macron of France, you know, leftist, anti-white leader. And a lot of this is, as people begin to focus, a lot of this is coming through to them. And I may kind of emphasize the media, but I think as people, a lot of the newcomers are losing their virginity in terms of the media, that they can't be trusted, that they're liars. I mean, there's nothing like having been part of an event and see the way it's either ignored or simply smeared. Like I was telling you about that protest, that rally about a week ago in my own city where we got 2,000 people to applaud the truckers. And they then, people were on every bridge from here to Toronto, which is about 40 miles, every overpass over the highway in bitter cold. People were there for several hours waving flags and signs and cheering on the truckers. Do you know what appeared in my local weekly paper where I live? Nothing. Now, there were two articles bitching about bad snow removal. There was some young third worlder going on about racism in the schools. And, I mean, talk about a total nothing burger.
Okay, so the media blackout, as you could expect, but
a whiteout,
the exact opposite of what you would hope for, and that is these are the bad guys instead of the good guys. They always recast the people. Villains are heroes, and heroes are villains. This is the Orwellian day and age in which we live. But I'm going to ask you this, Paul, very quickly before we go to our last. My God, what a fast hour! It's always so fast with you, my friend, but this one especially so. This compared to Black Lives Matter, we were opening the segment with this. This cause, of course, is so much more honorable and so much more peaceful, so much more peaceful. But I would ask you this. We got about a minute left this segment. We'll come back for some parting shots. Where do we stand right now? What do you handicap the rate of success to be? What kind of pressure are they putting on the government right now? And is there a chance that they could put just enough pressure?
Or could they bring down the Trudeau government?
I hate to make predictions, but there is tremendous pressure, and some of the provincial premiers have started to announce the ending of mask mandates and vaccine passports and things like that. Some of the rules are set federally, some are set provincially, but yes, I think there's a trend, and they're putting a lot of pressure on the politicians, and the smears haven't worked. That's the great thing. It hasn't discouraged followers or supporters from that was what I think the original goal was. Smear them as
the more they stir it, the more it stinks.
How long could they hold out, Paul? I mean, these truckers eventually, these are working class people. These are good people. They got to work. They got to provide for their families. How much longer can they continue to apply this pressure? They're not like George Soros funded minions. They have things to do in real life. How much longer can this endure?
Not like Black Lives Matter getting millions of dollars from corporate entities.
I don't know. But they are getting support. And there's now funding effort. I mean, people are supporting them, and people were, you know, on Twitter and elsewhere were told, look, if you go to one of these rallies, don't even worry about GoFundMe. Give some cash to a trucker or a gift card for gasoline or whatever, a bowl of stew or some sandwiches or coffee. And people are like, you wouldn't believe the kindness of people at today's rally. There was a table set up, and they had a sign there, free hot chocolate, which is pretty welcome when it was so cold. And I saw a guy say, listen, what do I owe you? I'll give you a couple of dollars. And they said, no, it's free. And he said, no, I insist. Here's $50. And the women said to him, no, we're doing this because this is what we want to do. If you want to give that money, go across the road there and give it to a trucker. I mean, there's a tremendous spirit out there. And I'm surely if they're paying any attention, the deep state elite are worried about it.
Well, it needs to morph into a movement to take Trudeau's government down. It needs
yes.
to. They need to have a new, like they're doing a parliamentary system.
All right, we got to take a break. This, I tell you, without any sort of facetiousness, we could have gone a full 3 hours on this segment. That's how big I believe what's going on in Canada is. Paul Fromm has been a part of that. Not only has he been a lifelong advocate for our people and for our issues, he has been on the front line of this resistance to tyranny. We've seen a lot of Confederate flags up there, too. That is the symbol to the resistance to this tyranny. But we'll be back with Paul for one more second.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Well, as Paul mentioned before, there's something in the air. As Keith mentioned it, that's Thunderclap Newman mentioning it. There's something in the air. Paul, listen, how long have I known Paul Fromm? I've known Paul Fromm so long, I knew him when he was still allowed to cross the border, okay? So that's how long I've known him. And every time he did cross the border, we had a great time together.
I'll never forget that time at Shoney's in Bartlett. Remember
that's
that?
Right. Well, I have broken bread with Paul Fromm in many different places, but he is really and truly one of the ones that when I look back on all of these years of broadcasting, I think of all the guests we've had, he's one of the first ones that comes to my mind. He has always
been there. He's been a stalwart. He's been walking point all the time, and he's walking point on this, Truckers' Rebellion in Canada.
You can't say enough good things about Paul. He's the real deal, and he's up there in Canada. We'll have him back on during our March Around the World series next month, but right now and right here we are. Paul, we have had a lot of questions come in for you from the audience, so if it's okay with you, my friend, what I would ask you to do this segment is I want to work in at least a half a dozen, and we only have about 10 minutes. That will be about a minute per question, if that's not cutting it down too far. But I want to follow up first with, again, 60 seconds on the clock, if we could. Your thoughts on the chances of the actions that we're seeing now enduring long enough to affect actual positive change in Canada with regards to the masking and the restrictions and the shutdowns and everything else that have been so oppressive to the citizens of...
Or the taking down of the Trudeau government.
Oppression to the citizens.
I think there's a good chance that they will get some of their demands met. You see, in this modern age of communications, a lot of Canadians know the conditions in Texas and in Florida. Sure, there are COVID deaths down there, but the death rate in Florida is lower than where I live in Ontario, and we've been living under a police state for almost 2 years, endless lockdowns, churches closed on and off, forced masking, forced vaccine. It doesn't work. And people are beginning to say a lot of Americans now have a fairly high degree of freedom. And why are we living in a what I call a medical Stalinist police state? And people have had it, and I think there's a pretty good chance, especially as other countries are dropping a lot of their mandates, like Britain has, and several other countries have. And so it makes it easier for the policymakers if they want to. I mean, they're under a lot of pressure. Of course, they also are furious that their experiment with people control isn't going so well. I mean, they managed to scare the ever-loving daylights out of an awful lot of people who put up, wrongly, I think, with these restrictions for too long. But now people have seen through the lies. You know, we were told once you got the vaccination, you wouldn't need to wear masks. Well, that's not true. You have to wear masks. Well, vaccinations are going to protect you from COVID. Well, we now have double vaccinated and boosted people in hospital with COVID. And you have to be fairly sick to go to hospital. So in other words, we've been lied to. And people are finally seeing that and saying no more. I mean,
they'll hang themselves.
You mentioned Stalin, yeah, too. And Stalinists, you know, it's interesting compared to Trudeau. Stalin nearly fleeing Russia on the onset of Stalingrad. And here was Trudeau. But nearly doing the same. But all right, here's the thing, Paul. I've got to work through these questions, and these are interesting questions, and I think they're provocative questions, and we're running so short on time. Everything you've said tonight has been so spot on, and we could, again, have gone the entire show, but I want to do my audience justice by working through a little bit of these, a few of these questions anyway. So we'll shorten the questions, and we'll shorten the answers. About 6 minutes remaining, and we've got six questions. It's going to be tough to do. Are more cities having protests than just Ottawa? The world's eyes, Sauron's eyes, are on Ottawa. How about the rest of Canada?
Yes, the main ones in Ottawa, but there are sympathy protests that I know of in Quebec City, in Toronto, in Winnipeg, in Regina, and probably other places. And I also have to say there have been weekly protests against the lockdowns and so on, going back to April of 2020, right across the country, that largely ignored or smeared by the press. This is not a movement that just arose.
All right, how about this? Is the government blocking access to additional truckers to Ottawa? And how many are being prevented from entering the city even now as we speak this evening?
They're trying to make it difficult for them. It's hard to block the roads. They're trying to make it difficult for them. That's all I can say.
I don't know what this exactly means. Perhaps you will. The questioner asks, what about the blockade at the United States-Canada border at Coutts, Coutts? Do you know anything about that?
Yes. Truckers in Coutts, Alberta, are trying to put pressure on their provincial government to end all the mandates, requiring vaccination passes and forced masking and so on. They have essentially reduced the cross-border traffic to a trickle. The RCMP tried to move in to confront them, and the truckers just held firm and said, no, we are not moving until the government changes its policies. There's tremendous, they're exerting great pressure on the government.
Listener writes, above all, be sure to mention this is a white man's and woman's protest. Would you respond to that? I guess you might almost expect that, being it in Canada, not in Memphis or Atlanta or Baltimore or Detroit or something like that. But, it's still a point to be made.
Yeah, overwhelmingly so. Absolutely overwhelmingly. There are non-whites involved in small numbers, which kind of gives the lie to the establishment smears that the protests are racist. It has little to do about race, although the vast majority of the protesters are white, as you'd expect.
All right, Keith.
Well, I think you give the Trudeau government enough rope and they'll hang themselves. I think that we want them to react, and we want them to react and overreact so that the people of Canada and the people of the world can see just what a tyrannical authoritarian government you have up there.
And I think, Paul, I know you've been big on this issue. You've been a real leader for our people around the world, but certainly in Canada on this issue, the issue of freedom. And we've seen Europe be very schizophrenic on this issue, different European governments convulsing on this issue. Do you think that what we're seeing in Canada right now, and this is still yet to play out, ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about this post-mortem, we're not talking about this as it's building up. This is something that we're in the very midst
happening
of.
Now.
It's happening, it's taking place around us. Do you think this could be the silver bullet, in a way, that would sort of bring an end to what we've seen over the course of the last 2 years, in response to the
and left-wing authoritarianism generally?
On the issue of this issue.
Yes, this is a long overdue rebellion against the complete vacuuming of our rights in Canada. It's long overdue, and as people get more involved, they begin to see that they've been lied to on this issue. And it makes it easier to show them that they've been lied to in others. Once you realize you've been lied to, you probably will not go back. And that's, from our point of view, is just tremendous.
Paul, thank you again for your service, my friend, for your uncountable, incalculable appearances on this program over the years. For nearly now 20 years of friendship and mentorship. I got your Christmas card. I wrote to you. I texted you. I said, I saved your Christmas card. It was very special to me. I appreciate the friendship and the partnership that we have on this call, so far greater than ourselves. Final word to you, a minute or two remaining. How can people support you? You're certainly supporting us, your people in Canada, our people in Canada and North America and around the world. Final word to you, brother.
Yeah, if you'd like to contact me, my email is very simple, and it's paul@paulfromm.com. That's P-A-U-L at P-A-U-L-F-R-O-M-M.com. If you'd like to get on our website and see some of the things we publish, etc., Our website is cafe, that's C-A-F-E, dot nfshost.com. And you can see some of the things we publish and so on. And we also put out a monthly newsletter. So if you want to email me, I'd be glad to mail you a copy. That's mail by postage, by post, not the email. So I'd be glad to talk to people and invite you to contact me.
Well, do it, ladies and gentlemen. Believe me, he's one of our very favorites here at TPC, and for good reason, as you learn about and as you remember every time he appears with us. We'll have him back on in March during our March Around the World. For Keith Alexander, for Neil Kumar, for our entire staff and production crew in Utah and in Florida and here in Memphis, I'm James Edwards. Paul Fromm, good night, Godspeed, brother. Talk to you again soon. For everybody else, we'll see you next week. It's our Valentine's Day show. It's ladies' night. Lots of ladies next week. They all look good. That's the most important thing, right? That and their message, I guess. So we got to be real. We'll be back. Good night, everybody. See you next week.